Well, hello, my friends, and welcome. Yeah, episode number 9 here of The Pulse in the year 2025. I bless you. My name is Troy Brewer. I'm the senior pastor here at Open Door Church and also, too, the guy that rescues kids all over the world. And I am sitting here with me with a team of friends and family that I do life with. And, guys, you're going to love today's broadcast because I'm going to be showing you what's happening in this nation right now. And you're going to be blown away. I know that you already know about a lot of these things, but you need to know that there's a move of God that is taking place right now that absolutely changes the narrative. And when God does that, it's called Jehovah Nissi. It is the Lord is our banner. I'm going to talk to you about that today and how important it is that you take advantage of it, that you celebrate it, and that you actually move into it when it comes to your own house and when it comes to your own leadership. Amen. Leadership and selflessness, doing what is obvious to everybody that needs to be done, that everybody else has been scared to do. Saying the things that obviously need to be said that everybody else has been scared to say. This is a time right now in the year of this double grace that God Almighty will jump all over that. And you're going to find simple solutions to complicated issues like Trump bringing the military to turn the water on in California. Boom, done. Can't be done. Yes, it can. It can. It absolutely can be done if somebody is willing to do it. We're going to be going through a whole bunch of these things, and then specifically behind the veil, we're going to cut loose, and I am going to show you and tell you some things that otherwise previously would have gotten us censored, which is why we started ODX.TV and all of the videos that we have there. For all my peeps that are watching right now on ODX.TV at Stage 2 and Stage 3 and our Lifetime members, listen, hang tight right there because we will be going behind the veil, and that is exclusive just to y'all. And I know that y'all know that, but I don't think everybody else knows that. I'm recognizing that we have friends joining us all over the world, but first, let's go to the table where we are at right now. Directly across from me is my good friend, somebody I love with all my heart. She's one of my daughters in the Lord. Some say tomato, I say tamayo. Rebecca is here.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
Well, I'm good. You know, I'm good. It's been a big day.
Yeah,
we're busy. We did a bunch of filming and had a bunch of meetings. Just got through with my pastor's meeting.
How was that?
It was excellent. I'll tell you guys what I told them here in just a few minutes. And then once we do that, because I actually filmed something that's called The Pastor's Corner. And it's what I wish every pastor knew.
I have never heard anybody ever come up with that. And it's such a good way to encourage other leaders, other pastors. Yep. On ODX.TV, you can find all that. And I love it how we're pouring into the ones that are taking leadership. Not a lot of people have that. Not a lot of people. There's a lot of resources, a lot of pamphlets, but not a lot one-on-one pastor. And every time you go to that corner, the Holy Spirit just takes over and you have a word, a brand new, refreshing word for each leader and every pastor.
Right on. Well, I spent about 20 minutes today talking about the yuckiness of dealing with staff and how that you got to cut to the chase and how do you do that? Like, what does that look like? I'll actually share that with you guys here within the next few minutes. But what do you want? What do you wish we told everybody?
No, so we're just excited to be here. There's so many things happening. I know that Ben has some things to say, but the first thing that I'm going to say is that we have a brand new video on YouTube that has reached 41,000 views. And we want to encourage everybody to go out there and watch it. Pastor Troy sang this at conference.
Look at the timing on it. It's 8:18.
Yeah.
Really? And Deuteronomy 8:18, man. The power to gain wealth.
Wow.
Come on.
Yeah.
In the past 5 days, so, Pastor, it has blown up. And we just want to encourage everybody to go out there, share it. Share it with your family. We've had a lot of testimonies from those that watched the conference, not only healing. I've been reading the comments, healing, transformation. They're joining ODX.TV. And it's not just for the views, but there is something special with Here I Am when you wrote it.
Yeah, it's something I wrote a while back for a conference we did back in 2020. And I know it surprised a lot of people. Dude, you play guitar and you sing and write songs? Yeah, I do. And so I just dabble in it now. I used to do it professionally, but I just dabble in it now. And Pastor Pauline and all you cats on stage were good enough to let me join y'all on stage.
We planned it.
During the conference.
It was amazing.
And we recorded it, and the recordings are good. So if you go to our YouTube channel and you look up the Here I Am video, come on.
It'll pop right up.
And man, please share that. Please go there and watch it and let people know about it and see, and then tell me what you think.
And also, we just want to.
And if you're like, that stinks, like, that's the worst song I ever heard in my whole life, then write it and we'll just erase it. Hallelujah.
No. It was
amazing. We'll hunt you down. You don't talk to me like that. I'm just teasing, guys.
All right, Ben Brewer.
Oh, man. What did I do?
Well, no, I don't know. I really don't know. So here, guys, my son, Ben Brewer, is joining us here today as well. It's good to see you, Ben.
Good to see you, too.
Yeah, so what are you working on today?
I'm currently writing down of all the names of all the people saying hi to us from all over the world.
Okay. I know that you have been working. We actually just finished up today our audio version, the audio version of the book, Numbers That Prophesy. And you've been working on that for like a month because it's 6 hours. It's 6 hours of content.
Wow.
It's 6 hours. I asked you yesterday, how long is that thing? You said 5 hours, 58 minutes, and 16 seconds. I was like, good, googly moogly. And that's actually after you cut out a whole bunch of stuff.
Cut out so much.
Wow. Man, looking at it, it looks like, you know, Evel Knievel, you know, has had a whole bunch of surgeries. It looks like that. It looks like a body scan of Evel Knievel. If you look at it, it's like cut out here, all the way through that.
Show it.
And it's craziness. And so anyway, guys, that audio file is actually done. Well, Ben's been working on that for me. And I came in here and read 6.5 hours worth of this book and cut through it. And by the way, I just want to tell you this. There's a big argument me and Ben are having because I'm like, I'm not reading the appendices, meaning I'm not reading and he's like, no, you have to read that. I'm like, I'm not going to.
It's not an audiobook, dude.
He's like, it's not an audiobook if you don't read every page. Dude, nobody's reading that. It's like, okay, in the bibliography, I'm not reading the bibliography. I'm not going to do that.
What are you showing us?
What are we showing?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's the audio file.
Every line is an edit.
Yeah, every line is an edit. Which means, okay.
That's love.
That's love.
That's a lot of hard work.
Those are love lines.
Those are love lines.
That's exactly when I'm found in a shrink ward, just know this is why.
Well, here's part of it. I mean, what's real is I stutter. And like, okay, well, I don't ever hear you stuttering. Like, there's a tone that if I get into, I don't stutter. But as soon as I get out of that tone, I do bad. And a lot of times when I'm reading, it's hard for me to get into that tone. So when I was a kid, I stuttered like a fool. I mean, I could not hardly talk at all when I was a kid. And I mean, I stuttered bad. And still sometimes, like if I start getting anxiety or something, I'll start stuttering again. But there's a tone I can get in. It's kind of like singing, and so it is like that. Well, it's hard for me to do that when I'm reading. It's hard for me to actually find that tone. And so I sat here, read through the entire book, contrary to Ben, from cover to cover. I read the whole book out loud.
No, you skipped over a ton of like the descriptions and stuff like that.
I'm just like, I'm not reading all that, man. Come on. it's my audio book. I can do what I want to do.
It's going to be amazing.
But it actually is good. Version, then. It's not an abridged version. Oh, dude, it's 6 hours. It's six hours long.
It's the Cliff Notes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 6 hours long. So we'll be making a big announcement on the push of that. We'll be I'm getting with my friends from Destiny Image. We're going to make a big push for that next month, and you'll be seeing that. So if you're somebody that would rather listen to it than actually read it, Benjamin Allen Brewer is helping me do that. All right, Ben. So we have friends.
Go back through and just be like, hey, Troy got tired of reading. I'm going to go ahead and jump in.
No, you're not messing with mine. No, do not encourage him. Do not encourage him, brother.
It's what the people want.
It's not what they want. It's not what they want or need, Ben. Okay, Ben, I know that we have friends from all over the world. Tell me.
Yes, sir. We got Susan Curry here from Big Time, Texas. We have Kathy Riggs from Georgia. Andrea from Germany.
Gunbarrel City's in the house. I'm looking at John from Gunbarrel City. That's awesome. I did a big gig in Gunbarrel City back in 1986, 1987. And if I can be very honest, we went out to this place to go play, and it was a fundraiser for a kid that had cancer. And we played in a Christian rock band. Our drummer was black, and they didn't like that.
Wow.
And as soon as we were talking about this is 1986, right? And Maurice Gilmore, and we pulled in there, and they asked me, they said, hey, what's this guy doing with you? I said, oh, you know what? He's just carrying our equipment. And we laughed, and then we got in there and got set up, and then we hammered those racists for Jesus. Not that everybody in Gunbarrel, please hear me say this. I'm saying, if you knew what group of people it was, you would know. Well, yeah, you should have known that those were a bunch of racist people. Well, I know that now, but I was a kid then. Mm-hmm. And so what we started doing after that, once we did that first fundraiser, and by the way, he was the preacher that night. The drummer was the preacher. We just quit playing, and he just got there and preached to everybody.
That's awesome.
Oh, dude, it was awesome. And then, again, that was way back in 1986. After that, we started going to Gunbarrel City all the time and doing fundraisers for this one kid that had cancer. He lived for another 14 years, I think. He was a little boy. He was like 4 or 5 years old, and he lived another 14 years. And we continued to do fundraisers out there, and we never had another issue after that. But that's my favorite Gunbarrel City story. Plus, I also used to deliver to the Dairy Queen out there. When I worked for a food distribution company and I drove a truck, I would take food all the way out there, and I'd load up the Dairy Queen in Gunbarrel City. All right. What else you got, Ben?
For some reason, it says I'm Barrett Brewer on ODX. I'm trying to figure out what is happening here. But anyway, aside from that,
you're not Barrett.
You're not.
I know I'm not.
Barrett is so much better looking than you, buddy.
Anyway, well, that's debatable. But we have Pamela Boer from Ontario, Canada, in here. We have Mark from South Africa, Caroline from California, Carol from the United Nations. We have Rhonda from Joshua, Texas. Lisa Bennett from
Illinois. Carol from the United Nations is here.
I think it's UK.
Yeah, that's actually UK, Ben.
Well, yeah, United Nations.
No, that's not. No.
Oh, United Kingdom. Ah, you know what? Forgive me.
Is it Monday? It feels
like a
Monday.
Do you know that you're actually going to be with me in the United Kingdom?
Really?
In Ireland here in about 6 weeks.
Yes.
So the United Kingdom is not just England, it is, you know, UK, right?
Yeah.
So exactly right. So you got all that. It's a Commonwealth, and we bless you in Jesus' name.
Ben, if you get sick and you need somebody else to go with you, Pastor Troy, I volunteer.
Okay. No, thanks, man.
I'm good.
I'm mad at him between now and then.
It doesn't matter. You're stuck.
I got a phone. I can take some pretty cool pictures.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Okay. That's good. I got to just, if I can just share this. Mm-hmm. I shared this on Twitter this morning. And I want to share this with you. And this is going to cause some problems. And then we'll go to you.
I saw it.
Did you see it?
I did. One of your replies was like, I wear a mask because I have cancer. And I was like
geez. Yeah, well, oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, whatever.
We bless you.
So here, we bless you
we
in
read
Jesus'
the comments.
Name. Yeah, so here's the deal. It says this. Do you wear, this is me. Excuse me. And because I was just in Washington State, you know, and half the population up there wears masks. And then they look down upon everybody that doesn't, like, you know, wear
that's
peasants.
That's so wild.
And it's like, why are you wearing that? Like, okay, so I asked
the
question.
5 years later.
Yeah, 5 years later, they're still ready to be told what to do. Oh, I'm ready for you to be afraid as well. You don't love me unless you're afraid. I don't like that. So it says this. I says this. Me, do you wear a mask because you think that it stops a virus? I want to stop. Is there anybody here that thinks that a mask will stop a virus? Because it does not.
Mm-mm. It's gotten disproven many times.
It stops bacteria, but it does not stop a virus.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it cannot. So I put this up there. I said, hey, do you wear a mask because you think it stops a virus? Liberal. No, because it makes me feel righteous. And it's so true. I feel like, oh, my virtue signaling. I just feel so righteous, and I'm such a valuable and important member of society because I wear a mask. No, you're not. No, you're not. For the person that wrote on there, I wear a mask because I have cancer. I'm sorry. That has nothing to do with you. We're obviously not talking about you, which, you know, hey, man, may you be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And in the name of Jesus, be healed. And so I bless that. Now that I've said that, what I just witnessed in the Pacific Northwest was not a bunch of cancer patients. There are a bunch of people demanding that the rest of us accept the narrative that that trash works and it does not. And number two, that you should be afraid. And this is what righteousness or this is what a respectable member in society actually does. No, it's not. There was a place for that, and we didn't have a voice, and that day is gone.
The day's gone.
Yeah. The day's gone, bro.
I love it. And it's so funny. I encourage everybody to follow Pastor Troy on Twitter because that's the true Pastor Troy right there. if you really want to know what Pastor Troy thinks, follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
It is not
a little
team.
More polished.
It's not a team. It's me on there, and I get in bad trouble. I get in bad trouble all the time on there.
Yeah,
and
we clean it up.
And it makes people mad.
Yeah, we do.
And I was like, dadgummit, you know what's real? I don't go through all your stuff and get mad at your stupidity. Why do you go through my stuff and get mad at my stupidity? Why would you do that? Because, are you ready? Because you have time to do that. Why don't you be a dad? Why don't you be a mom?
Yeah.
Why don't you go to church? Why don't you go into missions field? Why don't you feed somebody, help somebody, love somebody, encourage somebody? Why don't you do something?
Boom.
Yeah. Boom. Hello, Zach Rippey. How are you, sir?
Pastor Troy, so good to be with you today. I'm doing well, sir. Thanks for asking.
It is a good day to be alive.
It is a good day
to be alive. The United Nations.
Gosh, Ben.
I had a brain fart, okay? But at least I didn't post what Ashton Carter just posted.
What'd she post?
How come you can fart while wearing pants and underwear and still smell it? Do masks really work better than pants or underwear?
Would you just erase that so nobody sees that or hears that?
Like, yeah,
I will say Ashton Carter has your back on so many of the posts mm-hmm. on her own personal account. There's a video going pretty viral of you declaring about Psalms 47 over President mm-hmm. Trump. Mm-hmm. And that whole video has got like 700,000 on Instagram.
Yes.
And I go to the comments and I just see her just Ashton, like literally roasting yeah. people that are like coming at you.
Well, I was great. Well, I was there yesterday. I saw hate mail, something nice, hate mail. And it was coming up that fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, man, you know what? Here's the deal, man. People are actually trained to be reactive. People mm-hmm. are trained to, hey, I need to be offended at that. And I need to say something nasty and ugly. The same kind of people that will say something ugly on a typewriter because they know that there's no accountability are the same people that indulge in pornography because mm-hmm. they know that there's no accountability.
Preach. Wow.
And so if you're somebody writing a bunch of hate mail to me and you think you can get away with it, you're also clowning around watching all kinds of porno and you're actually funding trafficking. It's like, okay, as long as there's no accountability, I can get away with whatever. Yeah, it's the same kind of mentality as somebody that goes to a graveyard and destroys tombstones just because they can get away with it. Yeah, those kinds of people are not effective members of our society. They are a problem. And for those of us people that it actually matters what we do and how we do it when we're by ourselves, it seems like there's becoming less and less and less of us. But that's actually not true. What's real is there's a bigger place mm-hmm. for the bad guys than there is for the good guys. So we got to make room
yeah.
and we got to do our own thing. And we got to let people know, hey, this is how we answer evil is with the goodness of God. And that does not mean being nice. Yeah. I'm going to say that real quick. That's if true. I'm going to answer evil with the goodness of God, it mm-hmm. does not mean that I'm a pansy and I'm nice.
Correct.
It means that I answer with goodness, meaning mm-hmm. this. If there's somebody that is hungry, I don't just get outraged and go, I actually feed them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I actually get up and I do something about it. And we have to actually let the body of Jesus know that this is who yeah. we are and this is what we got to do.
Yeah, we need to separate ourselves from the world, you know, and the world is so easily offended by everything, and they can take on any kind of thing that you say, and they can turn it against you and use this as fuel as to why you're not a righteous man or why you're not a man of God or how this, and that. They can say all these type of things, but in reality, the truth always wins, and the truth will set you free.
Hey, I want to ask my friend Taylor. Taylor, do you have one of our white room testimonies? Do you have one of those? Could you pull one up? You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Right on. So I'm going to show you guys a cool testimony of a rescue that we've done. And let me tell you how you don't do rescues. You just scroll through people's stuff mm-hmm. and you get offended and say, oh, I'm so hurt. When you're not hurt, you're just trying to be relevant. So you think the more nasty you are and the more cuss words you put, the more important you are. No, you're not. That's not how that works.
That is so true. I was thinking about this the other day. Like so many comedians that I came from in that group of people, they love when Trump's in office, they actually have a voice. Because they're using Trump's name in a negative way, and yeah. it gets their platform a engagement. So they utilize his name for evil, essentially, by being the way they are.
Mm. Well, friends, I want to just say, I know what a platform's for, mm-hmm. and it's to influence people towards Jesus. Yeah. It is to demonstrate freedom, redemption, and the goodness of God Almighty. Yeah, outside of that, I really got no use for it.
Yeah. We got Georgia Thompson says, we love you, Pastor. Thank you for being bold and real and honest.
Amen. Well, thank you for putting up with me. Right on. Thank you.
We need real.
Yeah, and do love comments, you know, with all the hate comments. Just keep giving love comments.
Well, I'm telling you right now, if you spend time writing hateful things to me, you're wasting your time because it does not affect me. I have this huge prophetic. I literally got this. This is like one of the greatest revelations I've ever gotten in my whole life. And it's like a phrase that I think comes from heaven, and it is so anointing, and it goes like this. I'm rubber, and you're glue. And whatever you say bounces off of me, it sticks on you. Ooh. That's what you say as a first grader, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's what you say as a third grader. It's like, dude, that's what you do as a child. If you can't do that as an adult, I don't know what to tell you, man. Honestly, But oh my gosh, have you seen how hateful this is? No, I really haven't. You can show it to me. Like, wow, yeah, that's pretty hateful. But again, that's what they do.
Yep.
Here's what we do. On Sunday, we rescued a brand new baby in Uganda. Yes.
Come on. Man,
praise the Lord.
We rescued a new baby. The Sunday before that, we rescued a brand new baby.
Come on.
So two babies.
Two babies in 7 days. That's exactly right.
Where your babies at?
That's exactly right. How many kids you rescued? How many people did you feed this last week? Yeah. Come out and join me at the Open Door Food Bank this coming Saturday and see what happens when the people of God get together to literally feed 4,000 people.
Amen.
Because that's been going on since 1990.
Wow.
That's 35 years.
It was an outreach before it was a church. Come on.
That's right. And we didn't do that by being offended and needed an emotional support animal, which I guarantee you those jokers are wearing masks. I guarantee you that. A guy got on my plane with a big old dog when I was in Seattle, and he was all masked. He had a double mask on, and he's carrying his emotional support. I've got an emotional support armadillo.
I don't have so much to say, but this is a Christian platform.
Okay, hallelujah. So I'm just saying this. Listen, the narrative that you need to be afraid and that you're only smart if you're terrified and you do what the elitists that are lying to you tell you to do, like it came out yesterday. Mm-hmm. The Central Intelligence Agency came out yesterday and said, we knew 5 years ago that the virus came from Wuhan. Well, we all knew they knew it came from Wuhan. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, if you have a chocolate outbreak in Hershey, Pennsylvania, it's probably from the Hershey factory. Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Wuhan, China had a pandemic breakout, and there is a pandemic maker there, a biological weapons facility there. Wow. So it's like, okay, if I go to Shriner, Texas, and a bunch of beer comes out of there, it probably comes from the Shiner Bock factory. If I go to Pennsylvania, to Hershey, and a bunch of chocolate comes out of there, it probably comes from the Hershey factory. Guess where this came from? Anybody with a brain knew this, except for the leftists and the liberals. They didn't know that because they were told it came from a bat.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they believed it.
And they believed
infinity and beyond.
To affinity and beyond. And they said that you were a conspiracy theorist if you believed in it. Well, wait a minute. Isn't there a bioweapons lab there? Yeah. And isn't this a bioweapon? Well, yeah, but it actually comes from a bat that just happened to fly into Wuhan.
Yeah. And how did it get leaked? Yeah. I don't get that part.
Yeah. You guys, listen. Hmm. If you love the truth, you're going to know the truth. But if you have no value for the truth, you're going to have a value for drama. And that's what people do. That's why people hate and they say ugly things, and because they have a tremendous value for drama. Well, I want to give you something dramatic, and y'all are not going to like this. But I'm going to throw this. Let me tell you the most dramatic thing I've ever thought of in my entire life. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment, and it's drama packed. You got one group of people that are saved. You got another group of people that ain't. And one group of people are standing there, and the books are open, and everything that they have... Listen, Jesus doesn't have to accuse anybody in that moment. He doesn't accuse a single person. The Bible says they condemn themselves. You know what that means? That means they stand before the Lord, and he's like, go. And they open up their mouth, and they say everything they have ever said against Jesus.
Wow.
And it's like, I'll just sit here, light maketh manifest, and you're going to condemn yourself, and it's going to be ugly. Then there's another group of people, but people that are just as bad as those people. And this is a line I'm going to be in. They're just as bad as those other people, but they're covered by the blood of King Jesus because they love Jesus and because they love truth and because they accepted him and because they realize that there's no other boat afloat except for Jesus Christ. Yeah. And that's the line I'm going to be in by the grace of God. And I would say this, ditch your drama. Or you're going to be on the wrong end of the most dramatic day in all of history. And I would say repent. If you haven't loved the truth, love the truth. Mm-hmm. If you're just all about your own selfishness and your own mess, I want to tell you, not only is it destructive to you, but it's destructive to the rest of us. You know, if you show me a bad parent, I'll show you somebody who is selfish. You show me somebody that has an agenda for their own selfish mess. I'll show you somebody that doesn't care how destructive they are to their society, to their family, to anything else going on around them because it's all about them. Well, even if it is all about you, you're here for about 70 years and then it's over. And I know that seems like a long time, but it's not a long time. Soon and very soon, maybe even before that, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is going to come back. And what you did mattered. Who you were mattered. What you said matters. And I would get with that program.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That was amazing.
Come on.
I feel like I'm in the front row at a Sunday sermon.
Well,
I love it.
I think about this all the time. I'm thinking about this. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about this all the time. Just like what matters and what doesn't matter. Guys, I'm telling you, it's hurting people. Man, we got to help people. We got to. And you can't help people when you give all your attention to these people who are never mm-hmm. satisfied.
That's yeah. right.
And also, people who can't accomplish anything and people who are nothing but chaotic and destructive to people mm-hmm. that are actually doing something. Why would you give them the time of day?
Yeah.
Like, well, because we have to. In the name of evangelism, we have to do that. No. No, that's not evangelism. That's bowing your knee to the enemy. And I'm not going to do that.
That's right.
So here's my evangelistic word for the day. Get saved. Turn or burn. Like, well, you can't do that. That's terrible. I think terrible. You
said burn or die one time, right?
Like, you can't say that. Like, that doesn't make me feel good. I'm not trying to make you feel good. I'm trying to tell you the truth, man, that Jesus Christ is alive and well. He loves you. He wants you. And it's on you if you receive him or not. And I would if I was you. I would receive Jesus. Wherever you're at, just call out to him. Just go, okay. Okay, Lord, what if you just prayed this prayer? What if you prayed this prayer? Lord, if you're really real, speak to me. Talk to me. Show up to me. I'll listen. I will. Pray that prayer and see what happens. Amen. And then get ready.
It's Hallelujah. So good. Yeah, so you could call us at 877-413-0888. I love what we have here in-house. We have people that are consecrating themselves. They are in prayer. They are fasting. And someone is ready to pick up that phone. So give us a call again at 877-413-0888. And if today's that day, welcome to the family. Someone is literally, we are here to speak to you, to pray for you, to prophesy for you, and or just listen to you. So please remember that we have a call center 24/7. So good.
Real quick. The Lord told me to do that. We did that. So go ahead.
Real quick, I'm going to shout out to Sandy Min. She just became a stage 3 partner.
Oh. Sandy, welcome, sweet friend. Mm-hmm. I bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for partnering with us.
Amen.
Thank you so much for caring about people that nobody else cares about. And then thank you so much, because now you will be joining me live on every single conference that I do anywhere that has access to the internet, because we do that for all of our stage 3 people. Also, we have some special things. You're about to start getting this silly video that I do every morning from my phone. Sometimes I'm shaving, sometimes I'm driving, sometimes I'm walking around. But it's about, hey, man, this is what all's going on with me today, and this is what I'm hearing God speak. And then, of course, you have access to thousands of hours of content, all of it, without any breaks whatsoever at odx.tv. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that. That really helps us.
Yeah, and if you're watching right now and you want to become a Stage 2 or Stage 3 member and you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you can go to odx.tv and you can sign up for one of the stages that we're talking about here. And not only do you get access to all the exclusive content, but your funds every single month goes to supporting the rescues and the raising of the kids that we're doing at this ministry. So just keep that in mind when it comes to signing up, that your money is going towards something that is so powerful, that is life-changing, that is transforming kids all over the world. And the mission has not ended. We are going to continue fighting on, and we're believing God for more kids this year than ever before.
Yeah. And we have more of an opportunity to rescue more kids than we ever had. Now that we're partnering with governors, you know, the people in Durango, Mexico have offered to match dollar for dollar up to $1.6 million in building a whole new facility.
That's incredible.
That is amazing.
And it's like, wow, okay, well, let's do that. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. And let's rescue hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more kids.
Amen. Yeah, we're ready for it.
I'm very grateful for the government that is in Durango, Mexico, and the governor and all of his staff and all of his cabinet, and the attorney general and the prosecuting attorney and the comandante of the police, all of those people are all friends of mine. They're helping us rescue kids. They are rescuing people themselves.
Yep.
They are trusting us. We're trusting them. And I love this partnership. That's the way that it's supposed to be.
So we're talking about kids. What do you think about over the 75,000 missing kids that have been located under this new administration?
I'm saying that if they wanted to find them before, they could have. Mm. because that happened within the first 7 days. And the reason why they didn't find them is because they don't care. Mm-hmm. They don't care what they don't care what happened to them. They don't care what's been being done to them. That you can literally within 7 days find 75,000 kids that the Biden administration could not find in 4 years. That tells me that they had an agenda for mm-hmm. them not to be found. Now, we're going to have to go behind the bell. And we're gonna, I'm ready to start talking about all this.
Yeah, let's do it.
You ready?
You guys want to do this?
Do you want to show the video of Shravani first, White Room?
Man, let's do this because, guys, Shravani has been a daughter of mine for a long, long, long time. And I love her story. It's incredible. Guys, I want to show you this video, and then we're going to put it on my Facebook and so that you can actually share it yourself. Guys, and for those of y'all that are on ODX.TV, stay where you're at, Stage 2, Stage 3 Partners. We're going to go behind the veil, and I'm going to start hammering some stuff. The rest of you, my friends, watch this, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody. One of the first times that I went to India, children were literally just sleeping on the ground next to the quote-unquote orphanage that we were supporting. These kids have not had a bath maybe ever in their whole life. Leanna just starts picking up every single one of these kids and taking them to our room. Well, there was one little girl in particular, her name's Shravani, and Shravani was this beautiful little girl, and she was mesmerized with me. And as years went by, she began to request, can I carry your Bible? Can I go with you as you go and you preach to all these places? And I'm like, absolutely. Well, she didn't speak a lick of English for years and years and years, but she could say, Papa, she could say daddy, and she could say shopping. And every time I was there, she'd say, daddy, shopping. I'm like, okay, man, let's go shopping. She grew up. Man, I saw her grow up. Well, whenever she got out of school, she said, I want to be a stewardess. So we sent her to Stewardess Academy. But in order to go to Stewardess Academy, she actually had to learn how to speak English very well first. She got done with that. She graduated. She's a stewardess. And then Leanna and I was in Kathmandu, and we were in Nepal, and we were up there rescuing kids. And she contacted me, and she said, I can come to see you. She flew up there, and I hadn't seen her in like 4 years previous to this. And I was going through the crowd, and I'm looking for her and looking for her. I find her. We hug. She sees Leanna. She hugs her. We get in the car, and it's the first time we ever had a conversation because it's the first time she ever spoke English. And I want to tell you, that was a life-changing trip for me. And she's like, Dad, I have got to tell you things. I've never got to tell you about when I was 6 years old, you did this for me, and you did that. And me and Leanna just sit in the van, just bawling. As she spoke in English, she said, I've always wanted to tell you this. So a few years back, she contacted me. She said, Papa, how old must I be before I am to be married? And I'm like, it sounds like you've got somebody in mind. Well, in India, you have to arrange their marriages. And it's a huge shame for them if they don't have a daddy to arrange a marriage. So she told me, yes, there's one, and his name is John Mark. And I was like, John Mark? And I said, yes. I've known John Mark since he's a little boy because we also raised him. Well, here she is, a bride. And just look at how beautiful she is. And now she's got a little boy. She named her little boy after my oldest son, Ben. She's redeemed in every way that a girl can be redeemed. That's what we want to see, and that's what we strive for with all of the thousands of kids that we're actually raising.